right now on VFN TV, Tim Tebow is blasted for praying for a family of a man who just had a heart attack. Can you believe that? Facebook has been called a monster by a minister in Israel. Also, Samaritan's Purse, Franklin Graham, and what they're doing for our patriots, healing their marriages. And Senator Ted Cruz has an administrative hearing entitled Obama's administration's willful blindness about radical Islam today, right now on VFN TV.
Welcome to VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light.
Another headline read, "Does God play softball? Hail the size of softballs, destroy thousands of homes and autos."
Terrifying storms lasting up to softball-sized hail.
A cyber event could actually shut down power grids, financial institutions, cause absolute chaos across the nation.
And it is with great sadness that I share we have not 20 but 50 casualties. In addition to the shooter, there are another 53 that are hospitalized.
During the calls, he said he was doing this for the leader of ISIL, who he named and pledged loyalty to.
Nations shall be shaken, but kingdoms will be jolted.
Voters in the United Kingdom have voted to leave the European Union.
We are in World War III, and so the Congress should be dealing with this.
So there is. So we've been infiltrated.
Who do you think is writing your foreign policy?
When the president of the free world stands and says that Islam is a religion of peace, he creates the climate. He provides the climate, the perfect climate, to create more terrorism.
Embracing a perverted interpretation of Islam that calls for war against America and the West.
Islam is about peace and brotherhood.
One of the prophetic dreams God gave us was how this current administration cut a covenant with Islam, and we're seeing specifically it looks like this thing is being walked out.
I just felt it in my spirit. I felt like the Lord was saying to me, if they divide Jerusalem, if America has a hand, if the Secretary of State or the President or whoever has a hand in causing Israel to divide Jerusalem and giving up that land for peace, I will divide America.
This begins at the local level. This is going to be a county-by-county fight. So sheriffs and pastors become two of the most important people groups.
The pastor and the sheriff are some of the most important folks in your community.
It's going to be full-scale war. It's going to be with all the capabilities of the IDF.
Best formula for achieving peace remains two states for two peoples, in which a demilitarized Palestinian state finally recognizes the Jewish state.
We can actually win the hearts over if we go out and begin to evangelize and share the love of God. Militant times are coming, but it's time for the church to be able to rise up.
The trend of embracing Israel will overcome the trend of maligning Israel.
Only a united church can heal a divided nation.
God is calling out the evangelists to arise and to proclaim the gospel with miracles, signs, and wonders, because this is the season for the glory of God to shine, and the world is going to know that Jesus the Savior is alive and well.
Let me be the one to at least share the good news about the Chinese. They are having the world's largest revival. About 28,000 to 30,000 people coming to Christ in China every single day. That's about 1 million a month.
What many say is the greatest spiritual awakening in southern West Virginia history.
Lord, you're going to write the checks.
Billy Graham's mantle's coming on this nation. There was coming a call when the Gentile Rus would begin to unite together all across the globe and begin to declare, your people will be my people. We're declaring Jubilee. It's time for another great messianic awakening.
We Catholics,
abbiamo ricevuto tanto.
We've
dal movimento di Azusa Street.
So much from the Azusa Street.
Ma vogliamo a voi protestanti.
We want to ask you Protestants. We want to ask for your forgiveness for not respecting the love
of the law per loro aver usato.
I want to walk with those who walk in agreement. I'm telling you, we can make a difference.
But think about these seven mountains of culture. You can call them the religion mountain, which would be the church mountain, the family mountain, the education mountain, the government mountain, the media mountain, arts and entertainment and business. When we go into these mountains and make disciples, we can change the world.
Smith Wigglesworth, he made this statement just before he died. Whenever the Word comes together with the Spirit, we will have the greatest spiritual awakening the world has ever known. If you say yes, I will go. Yes, I will mobilize. If you can't go, then you're responsible to mobilize those who can go.
This is so exciting to watch all these things take place. You know, we live in God.
Yes.
We abide with God, and we're excited about the things of God. And I believe the church is going to get excited again about the things of God.
With your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV. I'm Greg Lancaster, and joining me just a moment is John Ramos. Can you believe this? Tim Tebow was on a Delta, reportedly a Delta airline, and a man began to have a heart attack. The medical people go to take care of the particular man that's having this heart attack, and Tim Tebow begins to pray for the family members, and people start attacking him and blasting him for his faith and trying to comfort the family. What is the nation coming to right now? Well, things are shifting. As you can see, this inner culture, things are changing, but we need to stand up just like Tim Tebow stood up and to continue to move in our faith despite what people say. Including, I think about this, that a minister with Israel right now has called Facebook, you know, Mark Zuckerberg, called them a monster. Why? Because these Palestinian radical Islamic terrorists that are in the Palestinian group that are there are threatening and posting violent threats against Israel, and they're leaving them up. And it's just creating, Facebook is creating this it's fueling what they're saying, what the particular minister is saying, the problem in Israel with a 13-year-old girl was just murdered in her home at night, stabbed to death by the same radical Palestinian terrorists, Islamic terrorists that are going on right there. It's just some crazy things that are taking place. But you're seeing the persecution of Christians and the persecution of Jews. But in the midst of all this, understand when persecution comes like this, we're about to see a great, great revival, great awakening, because you know it's always birthed on the blood of saints. And what I think about this, I think about in the midst of all this tragedy and all these things going on and the persecution taking place, that Samaritan's Purse, Franklin Graham, is ministering to our patriots that went out and they laid down their life for us. They gave up their freedom for us to be able to go fight for our freedom. And they come back from war with difficulties and sometimes wounds, emotional wounds, physical wounds. But Franklin Graham and Samaritan's Purse are ministering to the marriages, because now you have on top of that, you have a marriage issues that may come because of the difficulties of war. Well, watch what Samaritan Purse is doing. Take a look.
Last night I actually went and read 1 John. I sat there and said, well, what would I say to my wife? Besides, thank you for putting up with me for all this time. Just being here, being focused.
Opportunity to have a life then, really.
There's an amazing turnout. They appreciate what these veterans have done, and they come out and greet them, the whole town.
Welcome.
Thank you.
When you're wounded in Iraq or Afghanistan, you're medevaced to Germany and then on to the hospital in the U.S. So for actually many, if not most of them, this is the first real welcoming ceremony they've had. Samaritan's Purse, our mission is to provide physical and spiritual healing to victims of war, poverty, natural disaster, disease, and famine, in order to show Christ's love. These are victims of war.
We owe a huge debt to these men and women. And this is just a little thing that we can do to bring these men and women to Alaska, to allow them to enjoy the beauty of this wonderful state. but to invest in their marriages. They invested in our life, we're going to invest in theirs.
We want to strengthen their marriage, and we want to strengthen their faith. And the activities help us do that.
This is probably the most amazing thing I've ever done.
Woo! Welcome to Alaska!
Did you hear that video? You had the pressure, man. It's the media right there.
I know. The power of the camera.
How did you deal with going to war or deployments? What about spirituality? Where does faith come into a relationship? Every day we have about 2 hours of classes led by retired military chaplains. And in between, they get to enjoy all the scenic parts of Alaska.
They'll come in and ask, you know, why are you doing this? And it gives us a chance to share what Jesus Christ has done in our own lives. I hear many times the deployments and the separation causes the problems in the relationship. Those only magnify what's already in the relationship. And God is the answer to those relationship problems. Now, how long have y'all been married?
We're going on 7 years.
7 years, all right.
I was about 8 weeks in my deployment, my second deployment in Afghanistan when I was injured. The guy behind me stepped on a landmine, and the landmine was attached to a secondary device. So he took the landmine blast, and he lost his right arm and his right leg. And then I took the majority of the blast from the bigger bomb.
I asked, is he dead? And he said no. There was an incident with an IED, and he's an amputee now.
How has the injury affected your relationship and your marriage?
Now that we don't have all these doctor's appointments and all this stuff, you know, now we have that everyday stress, everyday life, and now it's really a lot of tension.
The house was like a prison.
He just went into like complete isolation mode, and there was no more dates, no more partnership, nothing. I was doing everything, taking the kids to sports, taking the kids to their doctor's appointment, you know, pretty much just everything alone.
With having five kids, I mean, I think that, you know, we've just kind of gotten to our daily grind where we just go through the motions of what's to be expected. And that's kind of where we fell into this rut.
Every night we've been going back, and we'll just lay there and we'll just talk. And like, okay, we need to work on this. And wow, we did bring stuff into this relationship.
Me and my wife were in Fort Hood, Texas.
She was in the military too, right?
Yep.
So you're a dual military couple.
You know, you marry your best friend and the love of your life, and then somewhere along the line, you still love them, but you lose your best friend. And it's because life happens and you lose focus and you don't concentrate on what's important. The devotions, it's a way to center yourself around your purpose, your anchor, and God being your anchor. It just grounds you and reminds you of why we're here.
Man, you got the cast down now.
That's because you got me talking.
Today I can.
Today I can.
Recommit myself to God.
Recommit myself to God.
To you, Aaron.
To you, Aaron.
And to our marriage.
And to our marriage.
I promise.
I promise.
To always see the best in you.
To always see the best in you.
And to strive to be.
And to strive to be.
The best partner.
The best partner.
I can be. I resolve. To build my life.
To build my life.
I resolve to build my life.
And our family.
And our family.
On a firm foundation.
On a firm foundation.
Of faith in Jesus Christ.
Of faith in Jesus Christ.
Yeah. As couples, they're able to open up in a very safe environment about the problems, the issues that they've had in their marriages, and give them, like I said, the tools to say, you know, yeah, I understand where you're coming from, but it can be fixed. God can fix it.
You've got some incredible people here who, I mean, you talk about heroes. Some of the battles they've been in, things they have done.
Baptized in his death, resurrected to new life.
We owe them a great debt.
We're so thankful to all of our veterans and the families of veterans that have stood up for us. And, you know, just recently we're celebrating the Independence Day, the 4th of July. We want to say thank you. Thank you for what you're doing. And it means freedom for us. And I'm excited to hear in the presidential campaigns that they're talking about you. that we're going to begin to honor our veterans again in our nation. But it's really great to see what Samaritan Purse is doing. So on behalf of VFN TV, and by supporting VFN TV, understand we stand with Samaritan's Purse, with Frank and Graham and what's taking place there as well. But when we get back from this break, we're going to go right straight to a hearing that was taking place in Washington, D.C., hosted or established by and set up by Senator Ted Cruz, about the willful blindness of the Obama administration, this is the name of the meeting, on towards radical Islam. And it's very informative, and we're going to make the whole thing available to you on VFN Torch. But you got to hear this introduction and what he says and how he breaks it down, facing the facts of what's really taking place in America. Join us after the break.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
These times are harvest times. Think about this. How would your church handle 1,000 new members every week? And we all think that would be incredible. It will kill you. We've got to start thinking like that. I tell you, we need to raise up hundreds of thousands of teachers. It is not going to work on the model of ministry that is now demonstrated in much of the church, where you, it's like a spectator sport. You pay your entry fee and come watch a few people do it every week. No, we've all got to be engaged. I believe there's a home group movement, and we've had many and great ones. I believe you're going to have home groups in every single neighborhood that are solid, where God is moving, where He is doing awesome things every week, every day, and where people are bonded together.
I want to thank you so much for joining us here on VFN TV and the Data Radio program. Every single day, we are on the air talking to the world and encouraging you by bringing the light, keeping the conversation light. And we also talk to you in many different ways as well. One way is at the VFN Torch. If you go to VFNTV.com and click on the torch, our program that we have for years now with all these pertinent topics of the day plus things that you need to know is right there for you, where you can go back and educate yourself on a particular matter. You can share things with a friend. You can listen to us in addition in SoundCloud as well. You can share things audibly with other listeners out there and other viewers and friends. There's just so much available to you at VFNTV.com. In addition, think about this. We come to you in the air, broadcasting in the air, in your pocket, which is on mobile devices, and online. We're all over the world, and we want to be able to bring encouragement to you. And we do that one way with our app. You can go to your Apple App Store. You can go to Google Play Store or your Windows Store and get your app and download it. The app is called VFN TV. Of course, you go to VFNTV.com. We have our little area there. You can pick which app you want to be able to download. It's just so exciting to know that no matter where you are, we want to be able to encourage you. I don't know if you knew about this, but also you can sign up for our Torch newsletter. We have a gift for you for doing that. You just go to VFNTV.com in the upper right-hand corner and fill out that little information, and immediately a free gift will come to you. One of them is Prudent Preparation. Hopefully it's going to come to you and teach you how to probably prepare for the day, what's happening in our culture today, and how to think outside the box. And this is something we want to be able to give to you, plus some other gifts as well. And I also want to make sure that you have a chance to be able to become a VFN TV partner. We have a whole partners area just to say thank you. It's special areas, special events, green room, things we have available just to give our partners, just to be able to say thank you. Imagine any time you can log into the partners area. Why? Because you partner for any dollar figure at all, to be able to say thank you. Things you can share with your friends as well. Also, we have VFN Kingdom Business Partners, a whole nother area to be able to focus on the seven spheres of culture. Just very encouraging. And finally, I want to encourage you, maybe your business, maybe you want to become a business sponsor. Those are the ones that are standing with us, that want to keep the conversation light, that want to impact their community, but also want to be able to share their business, their service, what they provide for their community. You can do that by going to VFNTV.com. Thank you so much, and thanks for watching.
Welcome back to VFNTV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome, welcome back. That's so encouraging to see what a Samaritan Purse is doing.
Yes, very.
For our soldiers. And this one thing about it, no matter what the world does, it doesn't matter what the world is doing. It matters right. What it does matter, but regards to the church, we can do this the right thing no matter what governments do.
All the time in so many different ways.
You're hearing things right now about, you know, building the wall and protecting our nation and our borders, which we should protect our nation and the borders. That's the whole responsibility of our president, as a matter of fact. But we still have to remember there's people on the other side of that wall, and the church needs to be on both sides of that, ministering to the people. I was just watching a news story coming out of Mexico where there's people living in drainage ditches and up under in culverts, and they're just looking for an opportunity to come into our nation. And yeah, we do need to regulate our borders. We need to be able to have legal immigration, but we need to be able to have immigration. But either whether people come or not, the church should be on both sides of that wall.
Absolutely.
Ministering. And it looks like Mexico needs a lot of help for the church, missionaries to begin to come, be trained and launched again and go into those areas. But I want to encourage you, as we're seeing that you think about, you know, no matter, walls will not, you know, walls may be meant to protect a particular nation, but we as the church are supposed to be on both sides of that wall.
That's right. Well, the nation's so close, that's the most easiest place, right, if any, to be able to minister and start with Mexico.
Start with Mexico. Well, we've been seeing some crazy things take place for the last 7 years. We've been talking about it on VFN-TV.
That's one way to put it.
Yeah. Things that just basically mean the death of the nation if we don't wake up.
Yeah.
And Senator Ted Cruz of Texas had a hearing, and the hearing he put together is, the title of the hearing is Obama Administration's Willful Blindness to Radical Islamic Terrorism. And it's a very powerful, powerful hearing, and the evidence that's presented at this hearing is it'll bring you encouragement, the fact of going like, okay, I'm not crazy, this stuff's really going on. But I want you to hear, first of all, as he breaks down what's happened in America and how the administration is responding to it. This is go ahead.
I'll say that I think this is important because this is not just something that's happenstance. The actual word willful means that he's making a statement. These are willful intentions of omitting these words of radical Islam. And this is what we're facing on terrorists and all these different things.
Yeah.
But he presents amazing facts that.
And the whole hearing, I mean, it lasts for 3 hours. We're obviously not going to have the whole hearing on, but we'll have it on VFN Torch for you. But the ones that appear before the hearing, we'll talk more about it afterwards, but they come out and say specifically, you know, what has taken place. Let's go. This is Senator Ted Cruz. The hearing is Obama Administration's Willful Blindness to Radical Islamic Terrorism. This is the introduction of the meeting. Listen up.
On November 5th, 2009, at Fort Hood in Texas, an Army major named Nidal Hassan gunned down 14 innocent persons, including an unborn child, while shouting, Aloha Akbar. Prior to this terror attack, and apparently folks in the gallery find it amusing, a terrorist murdering 14 innocent souls. Prior to this terror attack, federal officials were aware that Hassan had attempted to contact al-Qaeda and exchanged numerous emails with the terrorist Anwar al-Awlaki. A self-professing soldier of Allah, Hassan had also worried many colleagues with his promotion of an extreme or radical interpretation of Islam. Yet, for fear of being branded as politically incorrect or otherwise, they did nothing. Then, after the fact, the Obama administration classified these terrorist killings as mere workplace violence. In January of 2010, the Department of Defense issued a report entitled Protecting the Force, The Lessons from Fort Hood. The report did not mention Hassan by name, nor did it use the terms Islam or jihad. I would like nothing more than to speak with a government official about these bizarre decisions and omissions and about the pattern that has characterized 7 years of the Obama administration, especially in light of the most recent terror attack in Orlando by a radicalized man who'd been interviewed 3 times by the FBI and yet whose terror attack was not prevented. Indeed, this subcommittee invited 2 such witnesses. John Carlin, an assistant attorney general for the Department of Justice's National Security Division, and Michael Steinbach, the executive assistant director for the FBI's National Security Branch. Both members of the Obama administration have refused to appear before this Senate hearing. 3 months after Fort Hood, in February 2010, the Quadrennial Homeland Security Review made 0 references to Islam, radical or otherwise. Again, this subcommittee would have appreciated speaking with government officials about this deliberate omission. Again, they have refused to appear or testify. In 2011, the group Muslim Advocates sent a letter to the Obama administration claiming the federal government had somehow become infected with, quote, false and highly offensive training materials about Muslims and Islam, and demanding that, quote, such bigoted and distorted materials be purged. And I would note that was their word, not mine. Purged. And is also advocating for the creation of an interagency task force to address this problem. In a lightning-quick response, a rather unusual occurrence in our bloated bureaucracy, current CIA Director John Brennan, then the President's Homeland Security Advisor, agreed to create such a task force and claimed that the federal government had indeed produced, quote, offensive training that urgently needed to be dealt with in order to, quote, reflect the vision that the President has put forward. Yet again, this subcommittee would like to discuss this critical issue of national security with the relevant officials from the Obama administration. After all, should it really be the top concern of counterterrorism whether their efforts, quote, offend anyone, rather than whether they work and keep Americans safe? Yet no one from this administration is even willing to show up and defend their scrubbing of anti-terror materials. Let's take several more. In November 2011, the Department of Homeland Security released its domestic terrorism and homegrown extremism lexicon. It made no reference to Islamic terrorism, despite being on its face an alleged lexicon that included anarchist extremists, animal rights extremists, environmental extremists, and racist skinhead extremists. Yet somehow, radical Islamic extremists were nowhere mentioned in the FBI's supposed lexicon. Similarly, the FBI's counterterrorism analytical lexicon makes no reference to Islam, radical Islam, jihad, or any other such term. By way of comparison, the 9/11 Commission report, released in 2004, mentioned jihad 126 times. And Islam 322 times. Even worse, in March 2012, under pressure from advocacy groups, the FBI purged 876 documents from its training materials at the behest of 3 unidentified, quote-unquote, experts. Some of the purged materials, according to the FBI, were, and here's that word again, quote, offensive. One article was purged because it was, quote, highly inflammatory and inaccurately argued that the Muslim Brotherhood is a terrorist organization. It should come as no surprise that I and many others are concerned by this, given that I've introduced a bill in this Senate to designate the Muslim Brotherhood for what it is, a terrorist organization. Hamas, after all, is the Palestinian branch of the Muslim Brotherhood and is a terrorist organization that openly celebrates murdering women and children. The Obama administration, of course, has declined to appear and explain its policies. In 2014, the president stated that ISIL, the Islamic State of Iraq and the Levant, was, quote, not Islamic. Again, the Islamic State is somehow not Islamic. Because, according to President Obama, quote, no religion condones the killing of innocents. Somehow no one has told that to the terrorists. Also in 2014, a former White House counterterrorism strategist claimed that the federal government, quote, cannot directly address the warped religious interpretations of groups like ISIL because of the constitutional separation of church and state. U.S. officials, he argued, quote, are prohibited from engaging in debates about Islam. That's more than a little troubling. Are government officials, under the terms of this administration's policy, prohibited from debating anything about Islam, from confronting Islamism, the radical theology that mandates the forcible murder or forcible submission to Sharia of the infidels? This committee deserves to hear an explanation of that. Let's finish with some more recent examples. This year alone, the Obama administration has twice purged mentions of ISIS and Islamic terrorism from highly significant public records. One involving French President Hollande's remarks about the Paris terror attacks, and the other involving the terrorist 9/11 call during the horrific Orlando attack. The administration was forced to abruptly reverse course when the public outcry became too great. Around the same time, the Homeland Security Advisory Council was admonishing DHS personnel in a report about countering violent extremism to reject, quote, religiously charged terminology such as jihad, sharia, takfir, and ummah. Does anyone notice a trend here? A consistent effort by this administration to scrub any reference to radical Islamic terrorism, to pretend that the threat does not exist. And tragically, as a consequence of that, over and over again, we have instances where the administration has ample evidence of radical Islamic terrorists, whether it is the Boston bombers or Nidal Hassan, whether it is the terrorist in San Bernardino or the terrorist in Orlando. The administration has had over and over again ample evidence to step in and prevent these terror attacks. But the consequence of the willful blindness of a policy that is a matter of administration policy refuses to acknowledge the threat means over and over again this administration has allowed the threats to go forward. We cannot combat and defeat radical Islamic terrorism without acknowledging it exists and directing our resources to stopping it. And an Orwellian doublethink that seeks to excerpt any reference to it, as the administration did to the president of France, or erase pledges of allegiance to ISIS, as the administration did with the Orlando terrorist, is counterproductive to keeping this country safe. That should be the number one obligation of the commander-in-chief. It should be the focus of this administration and the purpose of this subcommittee hearing is to assess the degree to which the administration is willfully turning a blind eye to radical Islamic terrorism and the consequences for the safety and security of the American people. Senator.
This was just the beginning of a hearing as witnesses began to come and testify about things such as a man that was head of the Homeland Security, was told not Homeland Security, but part of the Homeland Security, was told to purge the records. He worked for Homeland Security. Of anything Islamic, anything mentioning radical Islam, and he testifies to it. And he shows the documents. This is when he was asked to do it. And he was showing specifically how that American government was partnering with the Muslim Brotherhood, leaders in the Muslim Brotherhood, and with CARE and these other organizations, the Holy Land Fund, that was proven to be a fund that was funding things that was contrary to our own country. Understand this. Here we are almost seven years and a few months later, our president's first international speech, the very first international speech that he gave at Cairo. We had that speech on VFN TV. But I want you to listen what he said. He said he was going to do this. I mean, there's one thing that President Obama said since day one is what he's going to do. I mean, he said it, and it's like nobody believed he was going to do it, but he was going to – first thing he did was go to Cairo University in Egypt, and he gave a speech. He invited reportedly 8 members of the Muslim Brotherhood who were illegal even to be in there because President Mubarak had banned them from being there. Mm-hmm. He wasn't there, only to later be brought up with charges. And a leader of the Muslim Brotherhood becomes president, Morsi, over Egypt after that. Mm. And Egypt just were just like, what? And they removed Morsi from the presidency, and then they elected Sisi as the president now.
Sisi.
Now, the second the Muslim Brotherhood got into power in Egypt, we reportedly have sent military weapons to them. We sent millions of dollars, if not billions of dollars, to them. And the second they removed Morsi, the Muslim Brotherhood, and they put in, which is radical Islam, you know, that's the one of the parts of that, that they stopped sending money to Sisi. And Sisi's our friend. Sisi's Israel's friend. But understand, this is what the president said. He said that he considered it his job as the president of the United States to defend Islam from every negative stereotype in the world. As a matter of fact, let's go back to the Cairo speech. And let's listen. This is the first international speech that was given. And what Senator Ted Cruz is saying is, he walked it out just like he talked about.
That's right.
As a matter of fact, let's take a look. This is Cairo, Egypt, the first international speech of President Barack Obama. Let's take a look.
So I have known Islam on 3 continents before coming to the region where it was first revealed. That experience guides my conviction that partnership between America and Islam must be based on what Islam is, not what it isn't. And I consider it part of my responsibility as President of the United States to fight against negative stereotypes of Islam wherever they appear.
There it is. And so you're seeing, well, in, I guess, his mindset, according to Michelle Bachmann as well, Congressman Michelle Bachmann, that they purged all the records of our federal law enforcement to say you couldn't mention anything negative against an enemy of your country if it was radical Islam. And you're looking at every single, Fort Hood, they called it workplace violence. I don't know if you even talked about the lady being beheaded in
Oklahoma
at work. Beheaded at work. Can you imagine going to work and her supervisor would not have had a gun in the office? Yeah. More people would have been beheaded and killed.
And they were being beheaded in the name of Allah. That was the purpose and motivation behind
it. You had the tragedy that took place in Orlando, and the guy's pledging his allegiance, as he was talking about,
to ISIS
and the Islamic State. You heard our own president call it ISIL, which this is a Levant, which is the state when you're talking about that aspect of it. But you're looking at right here, that's been an agenda. The agenda is, for some reason, our leadership has thought that it's better to partner with Islam than to partner with Israel and the nations as they were, original allies. So you're looking at the treaty or the somewhat agreement that's been signed with Iran to be able to enable them to have potential nuclear weapons, definitely nuclear power. their centrifuges are spinning right now. You heard right here on VFN TV that Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is saying, listen, if you give them this power, this is what they're going to do with it. They were threatening to kill America, kill Israel. At the same time, we were signing over paperwork to be able to give them $100 billion. You know,
they blew up a mock aircraft carrier yes. in the sea.
Yes.
In the middle of these negotiations. But if you go back to San Bernardino, it was hours after this attack that they were not releasing who the names were or anything. Meanwhile, the rest of the country had to go to bed that evening, not wondering if there were several attacks being spread around the country. People were fearful and concerned for their own lives, and they were holding back the names. When they reportedly it was known just a few, a short time.
I mean, she put it on her Facebook in San Bernardino. She said her loyalty on Facebook.
Yeah.
I mean, a juvenile can go find out what her loyalties were.
But they held that back from the American people.
Yes. It's because it's the narrative. He's defending every negative thing that's spoken against Islam. He's defending it. He said he wanted to do. He considered it was his job as the president of the United States to defend Islam. Well, you can have. I mean, there's no religious test for running for office, and you can have whatever religion you want. But your job is to defend the border and the Constitution, not a religion in the context of that.
And his administration and those top officials have echoed his same call. Attorney General Loretta Lynch, right after the San Bernardino attack, was even considering bringing up charges against anyone that was speaking against Islam.
Yeah. Well, they met with CARE first.
Yeah. To get talking points and maybe.
Right. They did. To find out how to present this thing. And, and that CARE was started under President Bill Clinton. And this whole thing's been going on for quite some time and unfolding. But the truth is, as Christians, we have to understand that partnering with Islam is not just a religion. It's a political, governmental. It has a little bit of religion in it, and mostly, it's a government. They're talking about a caliphate, talking about a theocracy. Where there are religious leaders over it, like it is in Iran, the Ayatollah. Of course, they say there's different kind of brands of that. But if you read in the Quran, and we have that on the VFN Torch to compare the two to understand that, you have to understand that because this is what they're doing right now. They just did this Sunday on CNN. They started comparing what the Quran has in it and what the Bible has in it. And they said there's no difference in the Quran when it talks about to rain down brimstone on homosexuals, and then they go over to the Bible and it says they're supposed to stone homosexuals. But what he didn't say was that there's a new covenant. He obviously doesn't know about it. He says that he's not an acting Muslim, but that's where the particular reporter, we'll tell you his name again before the break. And so they went to the Old Covenant, the Old Testament. And we have to understand, Old Covenant was like that. I mean, John and I would be stoned right now.
Yes.
I would have more stones towards me than him. He'd be throwing them.
Wow.
No, think about this. That's true. Can't say it's not true. I mean, it's true that before Jesus Christ, this is the good news. Before Jesus Christ, the way sin was dealt with is that you were stoned. You were killed. That's what happened. Sin was dealt with that way. But God loved us so much that he sent his son, Jesus, to take those blows, to take the punishment of our sin. What this news reporter on CNN has his little Sunday show going on, trying to explain religion. He did not explain the new covenant. But he was right when he compared the Old Testament with what was taking place and some consequences. That's not anymore. Today, God forgives sin. When you make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, you have to know this, because if you don't read the Bible, and like 82-83% of the Christians in America don't even pick up their Bible at all, and the ones that do don't read it to really understand it, except for 3% do.
Mm-hmm.
You have to understand that there's grace, there's forgiveness of sins, but the old covenant, prior to the birth, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, it was ruthless. I mean, there was... we talk about King David and Solomon. What you hear is forced labor.
Yeah.
You hear, how things were taking place. You hear Jehu coming in to remove the heads of Ahab's sons, Jezebel's sons, and he put them on sticks, you know, at the entrance gate. I mean, that was pretty ruthless. But that's the good news about Jesus Christ. That's why bringing Jesus up freaks people out, because he's the true living God. There's no other name under heaven where a man must be saved. There's no other name. I don't care any kind of religion out there. That's why Jesus penetrates all that stuff, and it gets everybody just really stirred up over it. When we get back from the break, we're going to talk more about this reality, because even though Senator Ted Cruz talked about it, the mindset's still going on. The mindset's still happening right now. They're still continuing on with this particular narrative that to defend Islam from every – and there's like 3.5 Muslims in America, 3.5 million Muslims in America. There's 350 million people in America, but they're just promoting it like this. It's
49 people died in this Orlando attack, and they were still trying to pull out any reference that the own terrorist, the, this guy who committed this attack, he was pledging allegiance to Allah. He was pledging allegiance to ISIS, pulling that out up to the last minute.
And what you're really seeing, and we've talked about this before, is you're seeing the Saul Alinsky strategy used in the world right now. I mean, the whole world, they're trying to organize the world using, you know, this book, Rules for Radicals, was dedicated to Lucifer, who used these techniques. And one of the most important things they found out to be able to use these techniques are you have to have a sustained militant effort. And so they're utilizing 2.5% of our population to push agendas on bathrooms and marriage, to using 3.5 million Muslims concept to be able to press in and get people uncomfortable. Those 3.5 million Muslims are not harming our nation.
No.
It's what our president and our leadership is doing in regards to radical Islam and not confronting it for what it is. But everybody's stirred up. Everybody's all everybody's polarized, as, you know, Marshall Gantz said on Bill Moyer's show. You first have to polarize before you organize, but once you polarize, then you can settle. And that's what they're getting ready to do. They're getting ready to have 2.0 come in. I'm sure they probably want his sister, but they both were mentored by Saul Alinsky. Barack Obama, President Barack Obama, and Hillary Clinton, they both were mentored by Saul Alinsky. We have letters that Hillary Clinton wrote to Saul Alinsky talking about she loves to get up, and she, reportedly she was recruited in her church, in her Methodist church. He went and talked to her in Chicago, something of that nature. But it's like this is her term paper was written
the
on.
Thesis, right?
Her thesis was written on Saul Alinsky. And so you're looking at things being organized. We have to realize, relax a little bit, you know, that they're just trying to get us all stirred up to make decisions we wouldn't have made if we weren't so frantic. And making decisions, hasty decisions, never turn out well. We got to remember God. We have to remember where we came from. Remember God's original intent for us, and begin to respond. We're going to talk more about that, though. How do we respond to these events taking place in our nation when our Congress is telling us we see it, this is what's going on, but nobody stopped it? Because one thing you didn't see in there that we'll make available to you is Jay Johnson, the one that was the head of Homeland Security, that he came in just very arrogantly.
Oh, yeah.
He just kind of like, you know, literally turned his nose up and said, you know, whatever. And you have to understand, Congress is you. When you have your congresswoman and congressman there and somebody's called to report to them, that's you. They're reporting to you. So when somebody who is an appointed office like Homeland Security comes before your congressmen and women and they do that, they're doing that to you because they're the ones that have to get the answers for you about what's going on. And it was just a pretty amazing thing. But we get back from the break. First, I had this offer for you, but when we get back from this break, we're going to talk more about how to respond, because things are going to escalate even more. But simultaneously, we were looking at a major move of God's going to be taking place. But first, this offer. Offer 2009, best place to stand when fighting the good fight of faith, Galatians 2:20. Not only is it important to know and to understand your enemy, it is just as important to be able to fight your enemy from a stable place where your footing is stable. We're clearly told that our enemy is not a physical enemy, but a spiritual one. Spiritual forces of evil, powers, and principalities. In this message, through sharing a vision that Rick Joyner of Morningstar Ministries had and he wrote about in Final Quest, we'll be able to identify the best place to fight the good fight of faith, and to be able to set the captives free. But also, will set you above your enemy so your enemy's weapons can't even reach you, those spiritual enemies. It's a powerful teaching. Listen, Galatians 2:20, I've been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in my body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me. This is a powerful revelation. You'll find out more about it as a free offer for your gift of any amount. It's offer 2009, best place to stand when fighting the good fight of faith. You can simply just go to our website at bfntv.com and click on Parker and follow the prompts. Or you can write to us at BFNTV, 6500 North Pensacola Boulevard, Pensacola, Florida, 32505. Or you can even call at 844-408-3688. That's 844-408-3688. It's offer 2009 for your gift of any amount.
TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
It doesn't matter what Washington does, Jesus wins. It doesn't matter what North Korea does, Jesus wins. It doesn't matter what ISIS does, Jesus wins. Because at the end of it all, every knee will bow. And every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God.
We are in a major apostolic reformation season in the church. The church means fellowship in the Bible, but it also means strategeo, warring. So in the midst of this season, God is raising up through our fellowship a warring unit that knows how to move forward to accomplish His purposes in the earth. We want you to know that you need to connect with an apostolic movement, or else you need to be a part of building an apostolic structure. And we want to encourage you as you move forward in this season of the church that you be a part of the Apostolic Church Arising.
Every man needs to hear encouraging words from his wife. This is John Fuller with Focus on the Family Minute. Here's Kathy Lipp explaining how important affirming words can be.
I think that affirming your husband can change the way he walks through the world. It can change his posture. It can change how he approaches other people. When he knows that his wife is at work or at home praying for him, has got his back, and believes in him, it changes the way he parents, because he parents with confidence now, knowing that he has somebody on his side. He can walk into work saying, you know what, work was terrible today, but I get to go home to somebody who cares about me, even if somebody here doesn't.
Your spoken praise, appreciation, and prayers play a vital role in helping your husband. For more trusted advice to help your relationship thrive, visit focusonthefamily.com/marriage.
If you haven't yet gone to the front of VFNTV.com, and it is a big link right there in the middle that says, visit our sponsors. I want you to go there and just, you see them, you go there, click on visit our sponsors, and you'll see them, and they just continue coming in. We just thank God for our sponsors and our partners. And our partners are those who partner with us prayerfully and financially every single month, giving a financial gift. And our sponsors and underwriters are those businesses and ministries who stand up and say, listen, we too want to stand up for God and country in that order and for Israel. And you can see them all. And it's there for a reason. It's there so you can know, you know what? If I need a particular product or a particular service, mm-hmm. and I want to stand with those who are standing up for country, God and country, and Israel, I'm going to go to VFNTV.com, and I'm going to see, is there a sponsor there right now? And if you provide a business or a service and you're not up, you need to do it. You need to say, hey, I want to be one of the ones that people come to. I want them to know when you buy our service, when you buy our product, you are saying, I stand with VFNTV and the daily radio program because I truly want to be able to keep the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, which is a command from God for us. And the hope for America is the light of God's word, the light of truth. And we're standing together. So you can go to VFNTV.com, click on Visit Our Sponsors, and you can see firsthand, not only that, but maps on how to get to them and so much other. Thank you to our sponsors. Thank you to our partners. And God bless.
Welcome back to VFNTV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. Well, it's good to know that our leaders are talking about what's going on because they're a representative. It's a representative form of government.
Yes.
The responsibility of the president, the Congress, the Senate, our military is to defend our Constitution from enemies, foreign and domestic. And so when you see radical Islam, anybody who wants to be able to put Sharia law in, which is the ultimate goal of Muslim Brotherhood.
No doubt.
And Islam is, and there was a vote taken, you know, what they thought about, I forgot to get that newscaster's name. I wish I would have got that for you during the break. But we'll make sure it starts with a Z. We'll have it for you. Hopefully I have it on the screen for you right now. But that's the one I was talking about that compared the Old Testament, compared the Bible to the Quran, but he chose the Old Covenant, not the New Covenant under Jesus Christ, which is very important to be able to understand. But they voted almost 70%, something like that, inside of Egypt, that they were saying that, that you know, leaving the religion is a punishable by death type offense.
Wow.
Or, you know, primary Muslim nations, the stoning of folks, and they accept these type of punishments.
Just a few days ago.
Dating the wrong person.
Someone in Syria, they said it was mocking Allah, and they severed his head.
Yes.
They had a picture of it.
Well, that's what the Quran says that. And the thing is, the Bible doesn't say it. The New Covenant doesn't say that anymore. So I want to encourage you to read the Scriptures. Read the Word of God. Take your time, begin to read, and abide. If you don't have an abiding plan, we have one for you at iabide.org. Go to iabide.org, request your free plan today, and we'll send it right to you as soon as you request it, and you'll begin to do what you need to do right now. We got to find out what God really says. But I want to pray with you before we go, and I just want to thank you so much for joining us. Father God, I thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to come together and to be able to talk about what is taking place, because it's not enough to know the news. We need to know what to do with the news that we know. And you speak prophetically to us. We thank you, Lord, for the Senator Ted Cruz who had this hearing and began to lay the evidence out before the nation and before the people. God, I pray for leaders to arise up to begin to deal with these things that are coming against America, coming against the world, really. And that you would bring peace again to our America, Father God, that you would bring revival, a third great awakening. Lord, that you would end abortion, that you would send revival, send a third great awakening, we pray. In Jesus' name, God bless.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless. Listen, it is so important. You've got to learn God's voice. You've got to be able to hear his voice and obey. And we call that abiding. We talk about it all the time. There's a reason why, because what's about to happen, your only hope and your only chance of survival is that you know God and survive in the context of living through this in a way that you're free, is to know God, to abide with God, to hear his voice, and obey it. As a matter of fact, even Rick's talking about it right now. Listen up.
Things coming out we really need to pay attention to and get ready. But the simplicity of devotion to Christ is absolutely essential. The simplicity. And our response, we need to hear his word. We need to get to know his voice better. Be absolutely resolved to know his voice better. And we need to get better at obeying his voice. Then we'll be on the rock. It doesn't matter what storms come, we're on the rock.
Well, so that's so very, very important because, listen, God loves, if you'll study God, if you'll study his word, that you'll understand he always rescues his people. He always has a plan to bring us out. You have to listen to his plan. You have to know him. You have to understand how to hear his voice. Yeah. And we even have on VFN TV where you can actually, you know, listen how to hear the voice of God. But listen, right now, you need to begin to abide with God, just like Rick Joyner of Morningstar Ministries is saying. And if you don't have a plan, we have a plan for you. A simple plan. It needs to be simple. It doesn't need to be tied into technology. And it's at iabide.org. We have a free plan for you. Go request your plan today at iabide.org.